The Pharisees went off and plotted how they might entrap Jesus in speech. They sent their disciples to him with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are a truthful man, and that you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth, and you are not concerned with anyone's opinion, for you do not regard a person's status. Tell us then, what is your opinion? Is it lawful to pay the census tax to Caesar or not?" Knowing their malice, Jesus said, "Why are you testing me, you hypocrites? Show me the coin that pays the census tax." Then they handed him the Roman coin. He said to them, "Whose image is this and whose inscription?" They replied, "Caesar's." At that he said to them, "Then repay to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and to God what belongs to God." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. One thing that jumps out in this gospel is this revelation that Jesus knows their malice. These people, the Pharisees and their buddies, their disciples and the Herodians, they come to Jesus and they come up with these specious questions against him, and it says that he knew their malice. In other words, he could see evil in their hearts. That's pretty serious. It wasn't as if he just saw them as, you know, people who misunderstood things. It says he knew their malice. He saw right into their heart that they had dark intentions inside. This is huge because the Pharisees and their crew were the experts on religion. They were the religious leaders, the clergy, and they had the outward signs of being holy. They had their vestments, the incense, the liturgy, their positions, and their title. But Jesus saw through all of that, and he looked right into the hearts of these individuals and recognized their malice, and so he calls them hypocrites right away. Now, everyone is a sinner, and we struggle along the way of God. We limp along the path of living as disciples of Jesus. But these characters, the Pharisees and their buddies, are totally corrupt. And you know how we can say that? Is because they have God right there. They have Emmanuel, God with us, standing right there, the person of Jesus. We would long to see Jesus. If we saw him face to face, we probably would be satisfied for the rest of our lives. We'd probably feel that we have enough strength now to deal with anything we have to face if we had just seen Jesus face to face. Well, they've got that. They have pure love right there, pure truth and pure light, pure peace, pure power. Can you imagine what it must feel like to see Jesus? They've got it, but they don't care one bit. They don't care at all. They reject him. They think they're smarter than him. And you know something? These people, they love their position in religion, but they don't love their God one bit. If they did, they wouldn't have questioned him. They would have said, "Hey, Jesus, you question us. You're the Lord." They act like they're smarter than him. They try to question him. They want him gone. And they gave him about 24 hours to get lost. They condemned him on Holy Thursday, crucified him on Good Friday. They want nothing to do with him. And what they show is that they don't worship God. They don't. Because if they worshiped God, there he is standing right there. They'd bow down and listen to him. They would love him. So when they go through all the motions of their religious activities, they're not worshiping God one bit. And you know something? Only God knows who's truly worshiping him. No one else can really see that. Only God can understand. And right there he sees these characters, they're not worshiping God. They've got malice. They're hypocrites. How did they get to this point? Because these characters probably didn't start off that way. They probably started off when they were children, wanting to do something good with their lives. At some point, they began to no longer think that their personal relationship to God was the most important value they had. And when they get to that point, they could have sin on their soul and they wouldn't even notice, or they wouldn't care. And then their sins would pile up and pile up and pile up. And it would get to the point where their sin took over their life and they don't even have a clue about how to grow in their personal relationship to God. They don't care. A relationship to God, a personal one, is a totally foreign reality to them. They put themselves, their positions and their titles and their vestments above God, above their relationship to God. And they got so much arrogance and so much dishonesty. Total hypocrites. Jesus sees that and he's not going to ignore that. He knows their malice. He knows they're hypocrites. But here is a warning for us. This hypocrisy, this malice, if it can happen to people who saw Jesus and heard his voice, it can happen to any one of us. It happens when we don't regard our personal relationship to God as something valuable. Now, in the gospel, notice the kinds of people that Jesus works better with. He works better with the poor sinners who are trying to make something good of their lives. People who are trying to take the messiness of their own personal lives and make something good of it. You look at the fishermen that he went to, the tax collectors. You look at the men dying on the cross next to him. These poor sinners were the people, they were trying to do something good with their lives and make the best of their life's journey. And Jesus could work with them. He got a long way with them. He made a lot of progress with them. He could have the Sermon on the Mount and they would come to listen to him. He could work the miracles and they would respond to them. The apostles after Pentecost would preach to such people, and he would gently lead all these people when he would preach to them on the way of God. He would teach people by his Spirit and by his word the importance of their own personal relationship to God and the fact that they can work on this relationship each day. This is a lesson that we should hold on to, because it's a lesson that these Pharisees and their buddies totally failed. They totally failed, and I don't know how much hope there'd be for them, for people in such a situation, because when you have God right in front of you and you reject him, you got a problem. You got a big, big problem on your hands. But we don't want to get like that. We don't want malice in our hearts. We want grace and truth. We don't want Jesus to see malice in our hearts. We want him to see his own Spirit in our hearts. We want God's love in our hearts. And that's what we work on when we see that our personal relationship to God is very important. It's actually the most important thing that we can work on. It's the thing we work on all the time by prayer. That time you spend praying, even if you feel your prayer is not answered or it's a waste of time, it's time well spent. Your relationship to God is somehow growing. When you humbly acknowledge your own sins and own up to them and repent of them, you're working on your relationship to God. And you don't have to beat yourself up over your sins. Some people do that, and then their whole idea of relationship to God becomes a very negative thing, and it doesn't work for them. You can acknowledge your sins and gently repent of them. Our daily plan and decisions to live by the commandments of God help us in this relationship. Our listening to the voice of the Spirit of Jesus helps us to grow in this relationship to God. So, brothers and sisters, we don't want our hearts to be a place of malice. These fake religious leaders, that's what they had, and Jesus saw it right away. We want Jesus to see his Spirit within us. By our prayer, by our repentance, by our obedience to God's word, then our hearts will not be a place of malice, but a place of the love of Jesus. God bless you.